This is Growing the Valley, a podcast by the University of California, Agriculture and Natural Resources. I'm one of your hosts, Luke Melliron, Farm Advisor for Butte, Tehama, and Glenn Counties.
I'm your other host, Phoebe Gordon, Orchard Farm Advisor for Madera and Merced Counties.
Listeners, Luke and I are very interested in hearing any suggestions you may have so we can improve what we're doing. We have a survey up. Links are in the show notes and on the episode page. Participation is voluntary. Everything's anonymous, and you can stop taking the survey anytime. We are going to be sharing the results probably in future episodes or scientific articles. Taking the survey would really help us, and thanks in advance.
Today I'm speaking with Zhang Wang, who is a vegetable crops advisor for Stanislaus County. And we're going to be talking about fertigation. Even though he's covering veg crops, the fertigation principles really aren't that much different depending on what crop you're looking at, since it has to do a lot more with how you fertigate rather than what you're fertigating. So welcome to the podcast, Zhang.
Thanks for inviting me.
Before we get into the nitty-gritty details, can you just briefly go over nitrogen's behavior in the soil and why it's important to understand these principles when you're thinking about fertigation?
Well, yes. The nitrogen in the soil typically has two forms. One is called a plant-available form nitrogen, and the other is kind of an organic form of nitrogen, which usually comes from the plant residues, animal manures, and other soil organic matter. That type of organic nitrogen will only become available to plants after these compounds is decomposed by the soil microorganisms. This is called the process of a mineralization. So that mineralization will make the organic form of nitrogen to become the plant available form. So the other majority type of nitrogen is applied through the fertilizers, which we call fertilization, either from the granular with different forms of fertilizer applied to the soil, or as we are going to talk about today through the drip irrigation or as fertigation. So as we know, all these type of nitrogen are crucial to the plant growth, no matter what you grow in the soil. The phase of the nitrogen, most of the nitrogen we hopefully is like they can be absorbed by the plant roots. And the other thing probably we don't want is like the nitrogen leaches down to the soil or either the runoff through the erosion. And another way of these nitrogen to be lost is through a kind of a gas form come out of back to the atmosphere. So as we know, that soil can be a very important habitat in the entire nitrogen cycle system. So that's typically, like, I think is the nitrogen behaviors in the soil.
What sort of products can you inject what sort of nitrogen products can you inject when fertigating?
Well, the products, or maybe more specifically, is the type of fertilizers to be applied through the drip irrigation or micro sprinkler. With fertigation is mostly that it can be dissolved in the water. That's very important because we do not want the fertilizer to clog the emitters or other type of water dispenser system. That will be really bad for the growers and for the entire irrigation system. So to decide if your fertilizer will dissolve the water, it's better to check the dissolvability of those fertilizers in the water. So please remember that those dissolvability of different type of fertilizers will be varied by the water temperature. And typically, the higher the temperature of the water, the more dissolvable that fertilizers will be. So for example, if you apply, let's say, ammonium nitrate, and you mix that with the hot water, you probably will be able to mix more, let it dissolve in the water. But please be careful that when the water cools down, if you put too much fertilizer at the beginning, when the water cools down, there could be something coming out of the water, which is a process we call precipitation. So if that precipitation happens, you will have a danger of clogging your system if your dripping or pumping system pumps those solid form of that precipitated fertilizer into your irrigation system. So that's very bad. And also you gotta watch the nitrogen content. If it's a high nitrogen content or low nitrogen content, because that will give you a different calculation method of your desired fertility level. So different products, of course, you're going to pay very close attention to those conditions.
When you're injecting chemicals into an irrigation system in general, you need to think about filters. So can you talk a little bit about what you might suggest growers use to try to prevent any precipitates that happen from clogging your system, since it's just a general concern with irrigation systems?
Yes, the filter is very important. The filter will not only filter the kind of a debris in the soil, but also it will filter out any kind of things contained in the water. You do not want those things coming through the filter and to coming into your final drip irrigation system with the fertilizer solution. That will, again, like you say, that will clog the system. So usually we got to check the filter before we start, even the start of the season, to check if the filter itself is in good shape. There shouldn't be any like residues in the filter, which may impact effects during the season. And you may also check that during the season, if you have like large quantity of the fertilization happened during the past period. So again, it's very important that you make sure your filter is in good shape throughout your growing season, especially in the high peak of the usage of those fertigation system.
Should you put your filter in before or after you inject your chemical?
The filter should be put after, it will be behind your chemical tank or injector. So to let the mixed solution flow through the filter and let the bad things or the debris filter out. And then we have the clean solution keeping flowing to your field rows.
What if you're not sure if a particular fertilizer, any type of fertilizer, could cause clogs? Is there something you can do to pre-check?
Yes. So if you check like a different university extension system, they have the publications on the solubility of selected fertilizers in the pure water. So here I just list some of the examples. Like ammonium nitrate, it will have the solubility of that fertilizer in pure water is 9.8 pounds per gallon. And then if you use like a calcium nitrate, it's 8.5 pounds per gallon. Something with a pretty low solubility, for example, like potassium nitrate is only about 1.1 pounds per gallon. So for those fertilizers with relatively lower solubility, you got to pay more attention when you mix them with your water. You probably either want to mix small amount of fertilizer at one time or mix them with a large quantity of water. That means that way you can contain your desired amount of fertilizer in your fertigation system.
You can also do a jar test to test it out yourself with your own water.
And definitely doing the test before you start or calibrating your system is kind of a vitally for your system.
Yeah. So we've gone over the system requirements for fertigation. So let's get into how you want to actually time an injection. Because as I understand it, it's not as simple as just turning on your system and letting the fertilizer go out to your plants, right?
That's right. So when you start time your nitrogen injection during a fertigation event, it's kind of important. So like you say, it's not just that you turn it on, turn everything on, just go and leave. So as we know, our orchard usually has a pretty long row. So we want to make sure that our irrigation pipes are fully pressurized before we start injecting our nitrogen into the system. And also, we want to make sure that our water will flow throughout the drip lines to have a fully applied to the system. In other words, we need to start a drip irrigation for a while before injecting the nitrogen fertilizer into the system. So we got to make sure that every drips we apply will be evenly to the trees throughout the row. And also, like you say, when we time a nitrogen injection, sometimes when the injection is over, we think it's over, just turn it off. But typically, once we turn it off, we got to let what nitrogen fertilizer resid in the drips to flush out to make sure that what you apply to the system will be 100% applied to your row. So that's also quite important to time a nitrogen injection.
What about your considerations if you're doing flood or furrow irrigation? I know it's not quite as common anymore, but there are orchards out there that are still irrigated in that way.
That's right. So if we are doing our flooding irrigation, we got to make sure the water flows from the beginning to the end of the row evenly. And then we start applying our nitrogen fertilizer to make sure theoretically every part of nitrogen is distributed evenly throughout the orchard. So that's important, especially for those using flooding irrigation.
I think I remember my nitrogen management certification back before I worked for Cooperative Extension. If you're doing flood irrigation, the nitrogen moves through the water stream a little bit faster than you think it might. So it'll catch up to the end of the row.
Yeah.
Are there any rules of thumb for thinking about how long to run your system before you start injecting the nitrogen?
Well, for this, probably there's not an absolute answer to this. You got to know your injecting system. What is your injection rate? The injection rate means like gallons of solutions per minute, per hour. So you got to calibrate at the beginning. You got to test at the beginning. So once you know that, you'd have a great assessment. Then you know, if I apply to turn everything on, how long it would take and before I can start injecting the nitrogen fertilizers. I would say some of them cost like 45 minutes, an hour and a half, and 2 hours. It's varied.
So when you're saying you're calibrating, you're thinking about your actual fertilizer injector and how many, I guess, pounds of nitrogen it's injecting per minute, or what are you thinking about when you're calibrating?
So yes, calibrating is important, especially for the growers and doing the first time of drip irrigation for each season. So that calibration, like you say, yes, one thing is to calibrate the flow of the volume of those solutions per unit of time. You can use, I know somebody use a kind of a large jar or bucket for like 30 minutes. They know, okay, 30 minutes, get 20 gallons of water or something like that. And then you know, okay, so that solution, I also need to know like how many gallons of solutions when I applied with the fertilizer per unit of time go through the system. So that's all the things needs to be calibrated before we start doing the real job.
After you calibrate your system and you figure out how long the system needs to run before you can start injecting and how long you need to run it after you've completed the injection to make sure it's all cleaned from your system, are there any steps you can take to actually see whether or not the nitrogen has landed where you want it to in the root zone?
Well, I think that's one of the advantages of using dripping system rather than flooding or other type of irrigation system. So by the small amount of liquid solution going down to the soil, we try to make sure the nitrogen we applied goes to our root system of the crops. So definitely, like you say, how we can determine if the fertigation we deposit is where we want it to go. Well, first we probably need to start those fertigation in a good time. In a good time means we got to know what our current soil or what our current field condition is. I just take out a simple example. So with maybe in February or March, if after a rainfall, so we got accumulated lots of water in the soil and maybe the soil is close to saturation. At that time, if we start our fertigation, we cannot 100% guarantee that nitrogen what we applied will be deposited in the soil because the soil condition at that time is quite wet. So if we apply those, probably the nitrogen will be run off or will not be absorbed by the roots. That's one thing. Two is the nitrogen we deposit or we apply should be following the crop or the tree growth stages.
And I would also add that if soil is very saturated, the roots aren't respiring very efficiently probably, and they're not taking up nitrogen as efficiently as they could be to begin with.
That's right.
Is it possible, you know, maybe later in the season to do, you know, soil cores and see where that waterfront moved after a fertigation to kind of get a good estimate? I mean, I know that you're not going to be able to just like stick a probe in the ground and be like, this is where my nitrogen ended up. But could you do, you know, soil moisture by feel to try to figure out how deep that fertigation event went?
Yes. That's possible. So I know probably our UC crop extension advisors will be able to go ahead and help with that, right? Phoebe, you can correct me if I'm wrong. So are there any growers taking the leaf samples or kind of a tissue samples, and they can send the test for the nitrogen content in the tissues? That will also probably give you a kind of a nutshell guess or something to make sure, okay, so my plants get the nitrogen that I gave through the fertigation system. Kind of common for lots of leafy vegetables, especially like spinach, lettuce. So people like to take the samples and doing that with the nitrogen content assessment.
It's pretty standardized. And
yeah.
So I'll note that in a lot of nut crops, I'm thinking of almond right now because that's what I usually talk about the most, but you do that July leaf tissue analysis by that time. For like an early harvesting variety like Nonpareil, mm-hmm. nut development has basically been completed at that point. And so the vast majority of the nitrogen that those trees need will have been shipped to the nuts. And mm-hmm. so you'll be able to tell, you know, not for this current season's crop, but next season's crop,
right.
what the
right.
nitrogen status of that tree is like.
Yes.
What about soil sampling and sending it to a lab? I understand that trying to understand what the nitrogen status in the soil under microirrigation can be really difficult because nitrogen can change a lot depending on where you're sampling.
Taking that samples to the lab or to any commercial lab, they'll be able to help. It's general assessment on the nitrogen content in the soil that after you apply the fertigation. But again, like you say, nitrogen is very mobile and active. So it can change from day to day. And taking that samples will definitely just to give you a general assessment on the current situation. And maybe, like you say, is more a prediction for the future.
Okay.
So typically for us, we take early season soil samples. Probably more nitrogen we test is the mineralizable nitrogen, which is also a kind of a guess or assessment for the soil that will be potentially provide throughout the season. What are the mineralizable nitrogen in the soil? It's probably very hard to get a true actual amount of nitrogen in the soil. So it's more like a dynamic situation.
Anything I didn't ask you about?
Probably the backflow valves, the pressure checking. We got to wash through the drip tapes once we're done to make sure there's no residues left over in the drip tapes. And especially the backflow valves, it is the law, the enforced requirements for growers in many different states. So that the backflow valves are important to make sure that either the drip irrigation or the solutions will not flow back to the tank or to the groundwater system to prevent the contamination. That's, I think in my mind, that's top one for the safely, environmental friendly and responsibly fertigate. I think that's the one you probably missed. And yeah, I would say know your soil. That's really important. So your soil can be changed year after year. I'm not talking about texture, but like other type of soil properties. You really have to know your soil well, because that's the backbone doing everything for your fertigation, drip irrigation. So that's quite important. And the other thing is keep a really good records for yourself. What did you apply? What do you use this year versus what are you going to use next year? So it will give you some guidance or give you some so-called lessons that you want to avoid or you want to continue in the next season or maybe in the next time of your fertigation.
Thanks for listening to Growing the Valley, a UC A&R podcast. You can find out more about this episode at our website, growingthevalleypodcast.com.
We'd like to thank the Almond, Pistachio, Walnut, and Prune Boards for their support. We'd also like to thank my sister, Muriel Gordon, for writing and recording the theme music.